Welcome back, everyone. This is Conmovida, a new podcast to make you move, feel, and create. My name is Carolina Caballero, and I'm very happy today to introduce you to a new guest. Back in October, I was again in Bali, in Ubud, attending different classes, workshops, and talks, and I have the pleasure to meet a very special person, Amrita Sofia. I'm gonna let her introduce herself, but I'm going to let you know that we're gonna talk about Tantra, relationships, intimacy, and coaching. So please stay tuned and enjoy our conversation. You will learn lots of things that you can apply right away to your life. And it's super interesting to know more about Amrita. So please stay tuned and enjoy our conversation. Welcome to Conmovida. Thank you so much for being here and making the time to talk to me.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be on your podcast today.
Of course. So maybe we could start with you introducing yourself.
Sure. So my name is Amrita Sofia. I'm a relationship and intimacy coach and a Kundalini yoga teacher. I live in Bali in Indonesia, but I was born in Australia and I've lived in, this is the fourth country that I've lived in so far. And here in Bali, I teach Kundalini yoga at a studio here. I run Tantra workshops. I host talks, community talks, and I also see so many clients in my one-to-one coaching business all over the world. So I work online and in person.
Excellent. Yeah. Amazing.
I'm busy.
Right. Thank you again for your time. Let's maybe, well, now I'm super curious. Like, can I know more about like how you came into this path?
It kind of happened by surprise. So I started off when I was in Australia. I was working in the fashion world, so I lived a very mainstream life. Like, I was all about, you know, the husband, the home, the mortgage, the car, all these things. And then my husband and I moved to London together, and I ended up working in investment banking. While I was in London, our marriage disintegrated, so we got divorced, which was a really tough time for us, and it was the beginning, I think, of this journey. So at the end of my marriage, I'd had an affair, and I woke up and I realized that I didn't really know who I was, and I was so shocked that I was someone who had been unfaithful, because it was something I never thought that I would do. I was like super, like very, like, you know, judgmental, very black and white about everything. And then I went sort of immediately into this very like tumultuous, drama filled, drug fueled relationship that lasted 4.5 years. And that ended when I was 33. And when I was 33 and that ended, I really was like, wow, I really don't know who I am. And now I really need to figure this out, because I had been in relationships from the age of 17. So as an adult, I'd never been on my own. I didn't know what I liked. I didn't know what I wanted. I didn't know anything about myself. And so I started sitting in ceremony with plant medicines to help me to start to understand who I was. And through that journey, I really got opened up to a whole different way of being and a whole different world. And I experienced my first feelings of self-love. And I realized that living in London and working in investment banking was not my path. And I didn't know what my path was at that point. So I realized that I needed to go on a journey of discovery, kind of like you, I feel like, and just you know, just like let it unfold. Mm-hmm. And I remember speaking to someone before I left. Actually, it was my sister, who's very psychic also. Okay. And she said to me, you will go places and see things and do things and know things that you have no capacity to understand at this point. Mm. And it will make sense. So I just went, and I went traveling, and I just allowed myself to really get still and quiet within and start listening to my intuition. And very early on in my journey, I heard the word tantra, and I was doing a yoga training, and they talked about tantra and what tantra is. And I was like, oh my God. This is what I feel about life. This is how I've been thinking about life. I just didn't know it had a name. I thought it was like a philosophy that I kind of made up. And I was like, oh, this has a name. And that really sparked me then to like go and explore that more, because I felt a really strong resonance with it. And so it was through that exploration that this path opened up to me. And through, so the way that I sort of came to do what I do now is like a combination of my own journey and lessons in love and in what not to do, and then in meeting my beloved and knowing what to do. Mm. My journey with Tantra, with different medicine people and different masters, and all that study that I did and my life experience all combined into this path.
Yeah, wow. And how long have you been in Bali?
So I've been in Bali now a bit over 2.5 years. I'd never been to Bali before. Mm-hmm. But as soon as I landed, I knew that it was my home.
Because I felt a little bit the same way. Right. Well, I do feel like that way, because the vegetation is really similar. Mm-hmm. So to Colombia. So I kind of felt like, oh, this is really familiar. Now I understand why people like it here so much. I mean, but for me, you know, I don't know why other people come here and get so in love, but that happens very often. I have heard like many people, like it's the case for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So how that happened for you?
Well, I'd come from India, and in India I was living in Rishikesh. So it's very Shiva energy. So it's like, if you don't know, Shiva is like one of the Hindu gods. And so it's very masculine energy. Yeah. And it's very hard. Like, yeah, it's healing, you know, like push, 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 right. Push. And I got here, and the energy here is very feminine and nourishing.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, this is what I need. Softness, like still grow, still
the
heal.
Path. Yeah, yeah. Right, the healing path, yeah.
But in a more motherly, nurturing way.
Loving way, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree, I totally agree. I feel like when I meditate here, it's very different than when I meditate in any other places.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels very dancing, like seductive. Mm. Like the land feels really abundant, even though like, for example, I lived in Vietnam, or I lived in India, and those are places that are also like, let's say, in theory, very abundant in their in their soul, like in their soil. But still, like, I feel like, do you agree? Like, Bali has something special that makes it like juicy and really like,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's super juicy. And I think because Bali also, like, it's a culture of artists.
Oh, okay.
So there's a lot of like creative energy here. And the people also are very like welcoming. That was one thing I noticed, like in some places that I traveled where there wasn't a good balance between like the expats and the locals.
Mm,
okay. Whereas here I feel like the Balinese people are super empowered and like they own the tourism business. And so like having people here helps them.
Yeah.
So there's like a nice ecosystem.
So we're all growing together somehow.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Okay. So I guess I'm super curious how you define Tantra.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is that for people who doesn't know or hasn't heard about it or is scared about it?
Right. Yeah, Tantra has some interesting reputations.
Right.
Like a lot of people, if they hear the word Tantra, they think of tantric sex.
Right.
Which is one aspect of Tantra, but it's not all of Tantra. So what Tantra is, if I like break it down, so Tantra is like, it's an ancient philosophy, an ancient way of being that comes initially from India. But what I really love about Tantra is that Tantra is all about finding the bliss. So like enlightenment, right, is just bliss, like living in bliss, living in presence, finding that through being present with your everyday experience. So it's not about like the Buddhists, like going off to the mountaintop and meditating in the cave alone and reaching like that sort of bliss state through that. It's like, ooh, how can I be human, be in this human experience, do my everyday things and really find that like deep presence with what I'm doing, and therefore that deep pleasure in everyday experiences. And I feel like when we can really connect to that, when we can really start being present with what's happening in this moment, like, you know, we're in my office here and we've got the, it's so hot in Bali, so we've got the aircon on, and like if I feel like get really present for a moment, I can feel like this really beautiful cool breeze on my leg, and that's really pleasurable. But if I'm not being present, then I miss all these moments of pleasure.
How are we not present?
Right, so we get, when we're not being present, it's like when we're in the mind. So when we're thinking about, the mind likes to think about what's happened before or what might happen in the future, and it's not really noticing what's happening right now. So then when we forget to actually live, because we're either reliving or future projecting.
Right. And how are we in the present? Yeah, how we do that?
Right.
What's
so
the
it's
secret?
For me, it's about like taking, like recognizing. So the mind, yes, comes into it, because first in the mind you go, oh, I'm not being present. And then it's just taking like one deep breath. Let me just notice what's happening. Let me just feel.
Yeah.
So it's about getting out of your mind and sort of going into your heart.
Right. Would you say also like enhancing your senses?
Yes, exactly. Yep. That's why like food play is a great way, you know, like when you're eating, to really, instead of like being distracted watching TV or doing something else or reading a book, is like to really sit with your food, look at it, smell it, eat it, really
taste it,
like, yeah, taste it. Really enjoy it. And then it becomes like this really beautiful, like full body kind of experience.
It becomes a full experience then.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Where did you do your Tantra training?
So I started my Tantra training in Ecuador, at the Durga Tiger School for Tantra and Shamanism in Quito. And that was really the beginning. But after that, there I did my Kundalini yoga teacher training. And that really introduced me to the sexual energy aspect of things. I did a lot of my own reading and study. And then also just through starting to actually teach Kundalini yoga, I feel that a lot of transmissions just started to come through. I started to open up like my gifts. So I started to, I would notice that I'd be teaching and then like these, like this wisdom would start coming out of my mouth. I'd be like, oh, that's really interesting, that makes a lot of sense. And so I started to get more present, and then my psychic gifts started to open up. So a lot of it also just is channeled through.
I do feel the same way when I teach. But I think it's, it also, it comes from all the experience that you have lived. So it's like your experience plus the training, kind of, and then if you tune it into the present, then you can start like kind of make those connections start happening.
Right.
And that's what we call like channeling, or like if you could explain in other words, how would you say that? Like,
Yeah, I would say.
Because channeling sometimes like sounds a little bit like.
A bit woo-woo spiritual. Yeah, it's basically, it's like the, it's like your lived experience.
Right.
Coupled with what you've learned.
Right.
And also just like what you feel. So, like, it's, I mean, it is a, could seem a little bit woo-woo, but it's really not. Like, everyone has this ability.
Right,
like,
agree.
Anytime you've ever said, given someone some advice or suddenly realized something yourself and you get that feeling like, oh my God, this is real, this is true, that then you're channeling, you know.
Right.
It's like not, it's something that we all do. Sometimes we just don't notice it.
Right.
Yeah.
Knowledge. Yeah, that's so true. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. And then you work with a lot of women, right?
Right. Yes.
So, but you also work with men, right?
I do. Yeah.
That's so cool. Cause normally I feel like the tantric work is meant or like is done way more by women than by men. What would you think about it? Like, or if you notice any difference in your clients or?
Yeah. Yeah. What I would say is, in the end, man or woman, everyone wants the same thing. Everyone wants to feel love and everyone wants to be able to give and receive love in a healthy way. And then how that presents for men and women is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So I do find, yes, there are a lot of women teaching on this path and a lot of women focusing just on women, and it's great to do work for women, but the men also need this work too.
Yeah,
so
agree.
With my
totally.
Yeah, with my male clients, a lot of it is like giving them the woman's perspective, because they really want to know, like, they, and this is the thing that I feel like for all women, like if you're in a relationship, it's part of your job, like your role, I don't want to say job, your role in the relationship is to guide your man, is to like let him know what you want, what works for you, and really start to communicate. And a lot of time women feel really shy about that, right?
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't want to say what they want. They want like the guy to just know, or like they feel like nobody
That's so
ever listens.
Because the culture is actually built on that belief that guys are the ones who like know how the thing is or whatever, and then you just like allow a little bit to like that to happen, or they should lead, you know.
Yeah,
which is then,
and the guys still can, like, you know, the masculine can still lead, but they need some direction.
Okay,
so like, you know, like my partner will like really loves it when I say what I like, because then it gives him some idea. Otherwise he's just guessing and hoping that, like, you know, that I'm happy with something.
Yeah, you said it the other day on the at the workshop, like mind reading, like, or
exactly.
I saw one of your videos, like, please don't like suppose that like your partner is a mind reader. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, do not expect your partner to read your mind, because they will get it wrong, because everyone's coming at it from, like, I can only come at you from my perspective, right? You can only come at me from your perspective. So as much as I can try and figure out what's going on in your mind, that's from the lens of all the experience I've had in my life. So chances are I'm going to get it wrong.
There's a high chance, right, yeah, exactly.
And it wastes a lot of energy as well.
Yeah, so maybe let's dip a little bit more into, like, your work with women, like, how, what are the main concerns, or, like, where do you see, like, your role acting more, or like helping more, you know?
Yeah, great question. So with women, the main things that I work with women on are getting super clear on what they want. So that, like, I work with a lot of single women. I also work with women in relationships, but the bulk of my clients are single and they're looking for love, and they've had some really tough relationships, tough experiences, and they're really kind of stuck, and they're sort of blocked. A lot of times they're blocked, not just with like their relationships, but also like in their career or with money, because it's all interlinked. So what I help my clients do is identify where the blockages are, like what are the beliefs, these sort of like false beliefs that are keeping them blocked,
mm-hmm.
and helping them release those blockages. And once you do that, then you can get to a state of clarity, and then giving them, like helping them define their vision and getting them acting on it. So like being accountable and taking the steps, because it's great to have a beautiful idea of what you want, but if you don't actually do anything, then it just stays as a dream.
Right.
So what I do, I guess, is I help my clients turn their dream into a reality.
Nice.
Yeah.
And what about guys? Do you see any difference? What are the topics if we compare?
Yeah, for them, it's very similar. It's just going about it in a different way.
Yeah.
So for the men, it's like super practical. Like I don't get too spiritual on anything. Like, but yeah, for the guys, it's also like for them to understand like how to be a strong, mature man in a relationship. And how to like take their kind of masculine leadership role while still allowing their partner to also shine and be powerful and strong.
Like, so, not taking the power over, but more like sharing the power, or like leading, guiding, but not like
exactly. Yeah. So creating balance for them. How can the man create safety for his woman, you know, in that connection? Like, I work with men a lot around communication. Also for them in getting more in touch with their feelings, because men don't have that. Like, they're not like women. Women have girlfriends, right? And we all talk about our feelings all day long. But a lot of men don't have that. So they tend to be a lot more in their mind. And so I really do a lot of work on helping them actually get into their feelings, into their heart.
Rational mind?
Yeah, out of the rational mind and into the heart.
And then the feeling mind, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, of course. That's interesting. And so you think like women are more open to spiritual practices, or more like...
I think that, yes, I think, yeah, I do think that they're a bit, not every woman, but I mean, most of the women that I work with are at least open to the idea.
To try,
I'm not, you know, I come from a very mainstream background, and yes, I live in a very spiritual place.
Yeah.
But I feel of myself as sort of like a bridge between the two worlds. So I feel like I'm very grounded and sort of a practical person. And like, you know, I want things to be spoken of and done in a way that's just like being real, like not sort of like dressing it up and making it sound all beautiful and fancy.
But then you have to isolate yourself in order to get those things. As you said, like, it's not like going up to the mountain and retreat for like a year or something, or I don't know. Yeah,
so I use like tantric tools, which are spiritual tools, and then bring them into a practical modern day way of being applied, so that it's useful for people, like for instance eye gazing, which is something that you can do if any of you people out there have partners.
Ask you that, like, if you could share like one practice people could like use right away, or like that you could
This is a great one. So eye gazing, basically you just sit in front of your partner, very close to them. And you did this in my workshop, right?
That's awesome.
And you look into each other's eyes, and that's it. And you just keep looking. So you want to try and look in like their non-dominant eye, which is the left eye. So that's more of the like feeling side, the feminine side. And you just like breathe deeply. It can be very, very confronting at first, and it can bring up like a lot of emotions. How was it for you when you did it in the workshop?
Yeah, I went through different states, and at some point I wanted to cry because I was so happy and I felt so supported just by the gaze of the other person. And then I felt shy, and then I felt joy, and then... Yeah, and then my partner that who I didn't know, she just cried for a long time. Mm. And I think it just brought like lots of feelings for her. Mm. And the most beautiful part, because I'm a dancer, was like not having to talk about it, which is right. like you can sense all those things without having to explain them mm. and justify yourself, like why is this you know, like it's mm. just like really holding a space at a different level. And then, yeah, I guess that way, like, lots of things gets processed in a deeper way, you know? I think that was really helpful, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you've ever heard the expression, the eyes are the window yeah. of the soul.
Yeah.
So it's like that. It's like really, like, you really see each other. And so for a lot of times when people get very emotional when they do this exercise, it's because it's for the first time in their life that they actually feel seen.
Yeah.
And I've had like couples come to like my workshops who have been married for like, you know, 25, 30 years that do this exercise and they're like, we've never looked in each other's eyes for more than 5 seconds. Mm. And I feel like I really discovered something new about mm. my partner mm. today. So it's like super, super powerful. And you can do that, you know, at home. You don't need any special like tools or anything. You just go for it. And you can do it with like friends, with your family. Like you don't just have to do it with a beloved. If you're single, like do yeah. it with a friend. And then when you do meet someone, then you can introduce them to it.
Yeah, it's really awesome. It's really powerful. We do it also like in dance to mm. connect more, to sense the space. Because when you are dancing, you also don't speak, but you need a lot of like...
Connection,
exactly, because the space moves around you and between the people, and so you have to have that certain sensibility of connection without having to say, hey, move this way, right, left. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what it is. Now I'm like a bridging or linking the two of us, you know, like
yeah.
that's why it's so powerful. Then you create so much intimacy
mm-hmm.
By that, and so that's what allows us to like be in this space in a way that is very magical. Yeah, mm. yeah, that's awesome. Wow, great. Well, you mentioned the other day that the universe has like a special energy,
mm-hmm.
and I do believe it completely, especially after my trip. I think for me. My spirituality, like mm-hmm. how you say that?
Yeah.
That's a hard word for me in English. But it's like, it's been something really, I have been constructing it like for a while, because I grew up in a family, I grew up in a Catholic culture, like Colombia is mostly Catholic. And I did go to like Catholic schools and then the college. But the interesting part, for not saying crazy or funny, is that at my nuclear family, we weren't really Catholic. Like my parents were atheists. So we grew up like very free in our minds in terms of religion. So my parents always said like God was an invention of the human mind, and very materialistic in terms of like everything should be like tested and proved. And they were more like academics as well.
Right.
So they really liked... prove things and learn and research, and you know, which I think it was great. But at the same time, growing up, I had hard times just like trying to like hold on to something bigger than myself, you know.
Right.
At some point I was like, this is my, the real world is just not working for me, and I don't know where else to like reach out, because I couldn't reach my parents maybe at that point, not, you know, like, yeah, I guess I tried different things. I became a psychologist, so I thought like that would give me the answer. And at some point I felt too that was too rational for me, rational. So it was like, there is no point of being talking and just trying to explain and understand every single act and every single thought that I have, you know? At some point I was like, fuck it, I just have to live my life. I'm just really young and I don't have to explain everything that happens to me.
Right.
It became this thing of like, oh, next week I'm going to the psychologist, like to my analyst, so I have to think about this and that. And like, I was feeling like I was making up like my, you know, like
What like, am I going to talk about?
Right, exactly. Like, okay, this happened to me, whatever. And then I had to make a story about it and connect it with my childhood and, you know,
oh,
like
gosh, all these yeah.
So because I really went for a long time. Of course, I mean, that's just also making fun of that. But because I learned huge things right. about myself doing those processes. Yeah, I wouldn't be here if I wouldn't be, if I wouldn't have done those. But at the same time, yeah, there is part of like the experience that get missed, you know, as you said, like the bliss in every single thing that you live. And so I decided to like just live my life, and I started dancing, and then my life changed forever. Like the movement part of that was like really healed me, even though I didn't know how powerful it was maybe back then. But now it's like, yeah, that's what I was missing. And what am I gonna say all these things? Oh yeah, because then it's like, and then the more I learn about psychology or even dance, the more I started connecting with this like idea of the universe, you know, like how, and then I did my yoga teacher training, and it's like, this is it, like there is something bigger. It's not only God. I mean, maybe I don't think of that as a God, and yoga is kind of open about it. It's like you can believe in whatever you want to believe, but there is a life force, which I thought like, yeah, there is definitely one. And then the more I continue, it's like I want to know more about the extraordinary. Like I don't care about the ordinary anymore, because I feel like the answers are not there. But at the same time, it's like, how can I talk about this in a way that people really believe me?
Right.
Because I don't want to sound also like, oh, she lost her mind, and then now it's, you know, I mean, not
exactly.
Whatever. I mean, not because what other people think about it, but because I do want to put this work at service, and that's the intention, not to get to like, angry that people don't understand what you're saying, you know, like right. It needs to have some grounding.
Exactly. And I think it's good for everybody to question things and find their own, what works for them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like whether or not you come from like a religious or spiritual or atheist kind of background, it's important to like tune in and check in with yourself about what feels right for you. So for me, what I would say about universal energy is like, so universal energy is like this idea that everything is connected, that we're all connected. So there are these lines of energy that are invisible, that we can't see, but we can feel, that connect us to everyone else. So for instance, like, have you ever had a time where you were thinking about someone and then they called you or they sent you a message, right? So when that happens and you're like, oh, this is a coincidence. It's not a coincidence. It's because the energy between you is making a connection. And then your conscious mind goes, oh, so-and-so just popped into my head. Oh, let me send her a message. Right. So that's like one example, which I think probably most people would have had like one experience like that. Mm-hmm. Or you're like, it's sort of like anything. I always say like there are no coincidences.
Yeah.
So any time where you're like, what a coincidence, we blah, blah, blah. It's like it's not a coincidence. That's universal energy working.
Right. You being conscious of that.
Right. Yeah, that's right. So it's like, and if you think about it, you know, like maybe you go some random place and then someone you knew from years ago is there, like that could be a coincidence. And then you talk and they have like some interesting thing to say that really sparks something in you, and you go away like having more clarity around something. Like it seems like a coincidence, but that's like universal energy bringing you together to learn something. So if we understand and are aware of universal energy, then instead of just having it sort of randomly happening, we can start to work together with that energy to create things in our lives, to start to manifest things in our lives. So whatever we think about, we create. So if we're worrying about something over and over and over and over and over and over again, often that ends up happening. And then we're like, oh, see, I knew it was going to happen, right? But it happened because that's what you were focusing on.
Yeah.
If instead of worrying about that thing, you focus on what you actually want to have happen, and you think and you spend as much energy on that as you would have on worrying about what you don't want to have happen, then you'll find that thing happens. But then often what people say then is if the thing that they would like to happen, they're like, oh, it's just a coincidence, you know. So it's like it's about also taking ownership for our feelings, for our thoughts, for our beliefs, and for our actions, and recognizing that everything that we do has like a cause and effect.
Beautiful, that's a universal truth, exactly, cause and effect, so nice, wow, okay, and maybe what does that mean then to like, no, let's keep it because we already talked about that. Like what? Well, maybe what does that mean being an intimacy and relationship coach? Like exactly your title. Like
let's just
talk about it.
Sure. Okay.
Besides everything you have said, I guess. But
So I guess we should talk about what intimacy is.
Yeah. Awesome.
So intimacy is what is essential for a healthy relationship is that we have intimacy. And intimacy is a deep knowing of ourselves and a deep knowing and curiosity of our partner. And we create that space through being really vulnerable. So being able to show who we truly are to our partner and also being really curious about them and allowing them the space to show us also who they really are and be really vulnerable. So in order for us to get to that vulnerable space, we need to have a lot of trust. So we need to first foster the trust in the relationship by being in integrity, by, you know, honoring what we say and having our words and actions line up. So being very discerning about the type of partner that we have, right? And who we give that trust to. Like people must earn our trust and we must earn other people's trust. So that then we can be vulnerable, and from that space of vulnerability, then we develop intimacy, which is that deep love that comes from a place of like truly knowing someone, not just like your idea of who
projecting.
They are. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, oh my God. So my work within intimacy is on helping my clients, first of all, understand themselves on a deeply intimate level. And then also helping them create that with their partner. And then as a relationship coach, it's the same kind of thing, really.
Yeah.
So it's like whether or not it's like your relationship with yourself, first and foremost, always, and then your relationship with others. So whether or not my clients are in a relationship or not, we always begin with their relationship with themselves. Because love starts at home from within us.
Yeah.
And when we have that within us, then it's so much easier for us to create that outside of ourselves.
Then you're in a position of sharing and not needing. Yeah.
Exactly.
I totally agree. Yeah. That's what I have been learning.
Creating healthy, mutually empowering relationships.
And set the space for yourself first, and then you can go out and... And you know more your boundaries and what you like, what you don't like. Yeah.
Exactly. But even if someone's in a relationship and they recognize like, oh gosh, like I have not been loving myself and our relationship does not have intimacy or, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that, oh, this relationship's broken. I need to leave it and go into another relationship. So my work there is on helping existing relationships create that.
That is space,
So
it's possible,
Right. So what's needed there if you want to shift your relationship into a healthy space, what's needed is like both parties need to really want it.
Right. I totally agree.
That's number one. And also there needs to be some level of respect between the partners.
Yeah, sometimes relationships get into a point where it's like there is no returning.
Sometimes they do get to that point. But often there's like you know, it's like there are some fairly simple things that people can do. Because the thing is that, like, nobody, like, learns this at school. Like, you don't go to school and learn how to be in a relationship.
Right.
You know, most people have not very good role models in their life of good relationships. Yeah. So it's not like this innate known thing that you're born with. It's something you have to learn. And that's, like, for me, why I really... I am very passionate about this work, because I really want, I know the potential for everyone and how amazing it is to have that. And, like, there just are not enough people, like, teaching this.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa. Well, then I guess then we can be towards the end of our conversation. And I like to ask people two questions. Mm-hmm. One is, like, what moves Amrita? What is it that makes her move, because the podcast is called Movida and the project is Movida. So what do you feel like makes you move from the inside? What's your drive, your impulse?
Well, my impulse, I feel, has always been to know people. Mm-hmm. Like, I've always had a curiosity about people. So it really, I just want to know everything about everyone. And I feel that I have, like, a lot of love. So I really love like knowing different things about people. And I love, like, whenever someone brings their vulnerability to me, that really moves me.
Mm.
Like, that really moves me. I just think it's the most beautiful thing.
Yes, you just said it. Mm. Yes, yeah. I totally agree now. Like, nobody has told me that.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's something that resonates with me too. Like, when I can see people vulnerable, it's like, I'm there.
Completely. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's like so
that's rare, actually,
courageous.
As well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I'm like, wow, I bow to you. You know, if someone's like brings their vulnerability, I'm like, you are amazing,
because
it's the most beautiful and precious thing. Right. And then other things that move
it's
me,
it's like you feel honored that
right. Yeah. You know, it's like that needs like a, like, we need to praise you, you know what I mean? It's such a challenge. It's scary sometimes, right, to be in that vulnerable space. So when someone brings that, it's like, oh my goodness, you are just amazing.
Mm.
And then other things that move me, I love singing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. I feel like singing is, like, for me, is like meditation. Yeah. Like, it really takes me into a different space.
Mm-hmm.
Music really moves me. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then with the Kundalini practice, I guess that connects very well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really curious now about that, like my voice. Like, I have never felt like a really good singer or anything like that. But the deeper I go into my journey, it feels like more needed to, like, just get it aloud. Like, you know, I love to be loud. I mean, I do feel like I have a strong voice. I just have never used it in a way that is so powerful. Singing is super powerful. Yeah,
you should do it. I had, like, I always loved singing, but I thought I had a terrible voice.
Yeah.
And when I was, like, traveling and I was, like, in, like, Colombia and in Peru, and we were in, like, medicine circles, and, you know, like, there's the drumming and everyone's singing, and then I'd be singing along, and then they'd, like, pass the drum to me and be like, okay, now you. I was like, no way. I cannot sing. Yeah. And everyone was like, but you have a beautiful voice. I didn't believe it.
Yeah.
And then when I went to India, I was like, okay, I'm going to, like, face this thing, and I'm going to go and, like, get music lessons and learn to play the harmonium.
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah. Oh, I did that for 6 months. I was going, like, 4 private lessons a week. I spent most of my days, I was, like, doing yoga, and then I would, like, practice my harmonium for a few hours, and then I'd go to my class, and then I'd practice a few hours more. I was like, how did I ever have time to work? it was hours. And then I remember I was, like, here, and I was teaching sound healing for a while. There's a place called Pyramids of Chi.
Okay.
And I started singing in my sound healings, and I'll never forget, like, this, the first person who came up to me and was like, "Excuse me, do you have an album? I would love to buy your album." I was like, "What?" Like, I never in a million years did I ever think, one, that I could sing, and two, that anyone would ever request to buy my album, which doesn't, does not exist.
What a shame.
Yeah, the moral of the story, though, is, like, if it's something that you love, like, go for it.
Yeah, something I'm curious now, but yeah.
If you're curious about it, go for it, because I truly believe, actually, everyone can sing, but yeah, it's our own beliefs about
it. It's like dancing, like, most of the people, "No, I can't dance," and it's like, come on, everybody is a dancer. Like, if you open your mind and you are willing to try, and
right,
because those are, like, also very primitive tools of expression, I think. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, your voice, and then of your movement, which is your body, and
yeah,
your emotions actually inside, like, also the energy, you know, through you. So that's well, and then the last question I like to ask is, like, what do you think or feel like the world needs the most now? What is needed right now in our times?
I feel like more understanding.
Mm.
So just like being like, yeah, just like a little more compassion, I feel like. Yeah, yeah. Because if we can all like be a little more compassionate to each other and like a little more understanding of like the different, you know, lives that we've all lived, then that allows us to come to the space where we start to recognize actually that at the end of the day, we all want the same thing, which is love.
Mm.
And then we can start to build like some of the bridges and break down some of that separation and loneliness that people feel.
Right, because love is not, I mean, my definition of love is more like a state of being, which at the end, I guess, could be kind of like, well, not necessarily, but I was thinking like love is like something pure and the same for everybody, you know, but let's say it's not, which is what you're saying, like understanding because love is not the same for everyone, you know? So it's like, we need to bring that awareness of like, what is love for you? What is love for me? How can we get there somehow? You know, like.
Yeah, I think like love is the same, energy, but the way different people express it is different, right?
Or experience it as well, I guess.
And also like, everybody is on like their own journey and been through their own unique like life experiences that have brought them to the space that they're in.
Yeah.
With the certain like, you know, fears or blockages that they might have,
yeah,
or ways that stop them from either expressing love or from feeling love.
Or receiving.
Or receiving love, yeah.
I guess because what you just said is like also there is an idea of love.
Mm-hmm.
There is a belief that what is love. So I guess we need to like get through that, like break it down so we can get into this more higher understanding of the energy of, you know, like,
yeah,
that's what I felt like. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the understanding helps us to like break down the
barriers,
narratives, and the beliefs, the stories that we have told ourselves that love is whatever. Yeah. And we are so like full of like, you know, all these narratives that doesn't help much. And as you were saying, like the movies and the songs that we sing, and I don't know, and me, for example, in Colombia, like the TV shows, you know, la novela is very dramatic.
Oh, the novelas.
Yeah. It's like, oh my God, I mean, like, yeah, I don't watch them anymore, like already for a long time, but I used to do it. And of course, that's part of my, you know, stereotypes and archives, and you know, like,
yeah, there's a lot of stereotypes that like that love, that's amazing love, is very like, there's a lot of drama with the passion, right? But it's like there's passion, but then there's also like all this drama and like destruction and rage and things like that. But actually you can have like passion and have also something that is like very much more nourishing at the same time. Yeah, so like
uplifting. Yeah.
Yeah, like you can have a really beautiful friendship and have passion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally agree. Yes. Yeah, it's kind of like also how we make love to each other, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Like it could be wild and whatever. I don't know what else about other adjective, but I mean, but not, but when it's in a conscious way, then it could
exactly.
be all these intensities, you know, whether it's
yeah.
when it's not made in a conscious way, it's just like, I don't know how to explain that, but it's like a vomit, like all the emotions and sensations and behaviors just right there without really like discriminating what is needed in each moment or whatever, you know, I guess.
Mm.
Yeah. Hmm. Super interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, all right, this is the end. So, would you say something else about what you do, about your experience, about inviting people to like do the process with you? How would you like to close your talk?
Well, I would just love to. Well, first
or if you
I want
ask me something. Yeah.
Yeah, like well, I want to thank you for having me on your podcast, definitely. And yeah, I just think you're such a beautiful woman. You've got such amazing energy. Like really, she's got this like really like rah, like you've got that real Latina, like
I'm blushed.
No, I love it. I love it. It reminds me of like when I was in Colombia. I really love Colombia. It was one of my favorite places that I went to. So it's like really nice to be here with you. I guess I just like to close with, if anyone is interested in finding out more about what I do, you can check me out on Instagram, which is Amrita Sophia LePage, or go to my website, amritasophia.com, and you can find out more there. And there's like links to like book in a little chat with me if you want to talk about one-to-one.
Do it. Yeah. It's amazing. At least half an hour with Amrita.
Yeah.
Highly recommend it, yes.
Yeah, I would love to like chat with you and see how I can support you in your journey into stepping more into your power.
Yeah.
And just whatever you're doing, just know like that you all, every moment is an opportunity for you, and every moment you have the opportunity to make a new choice. So if you're doing things in one way and you recognize that that isn't working for you anymore, you always have a choice. And even if you do something very small, like take some very small action in a different direction, it all adds up. So it's never too late to like make a change. So, yeah.
Oh, I do have another question.
Yeah.
Can we come back to that?
Sure.
Shoot. This is not professional at all. Something about that is really, because it's kind of important for me right now. Like, do you work with like trauma? Like, do you come up with a lot of trauma in your work? You probably do, no?
There is some, I'm not a trauma specialist.
Oh, okay. You recommend.
So yeah. So if someone had a lot of like sexual trauma, then I would refer them on to someone who can help them more deeply with that. But I do like deal with, I think we all carry some trauma.
Yeah.
And so I do work with it, but if it's very intense, like at a very intense level,
yeah,
then, you know, I feel like it's important to like see a specialist in that. Yeah.
And that requires a certain other practices. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you need to be really sensitive. I'm sure, you know, as like being a psychologist, right? That you need to be very sensitive about re-traumatizing someone. Like if trauma arises,
right.
Like there is, say, like doing breath work, right?
Yeah.
Can re-traumatize.
Mm.
Sometimes it can be really powerful and a good healing, but sometimes it can bring up so much that it sends the person back into a state of trauma.
Mm.
So I feel like it's one of those things where we need to be like responsible and like to know also like where our expertise finishes and someone else's expertise needs to come in.
Yeah, great. Yeah, important. Oh, wow, awesome. Yeah. All right, then let's say goodbye for now. For now. So Amrita is here in Bali, in Ubud. And yeah, check her out. Mm-hmm. No matter where you are at, you can reach her through the internet. You can use that tool to get to her, and I highly recommend it. So thank you so much.
You're
welcome. For this.
My pleasure.
Awesome talking to you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, bye.
Thank you so much for listening until the end of our conversation. I hope you enjoyed these topics as much as I did. It was my pleasure to get to know Amrita, to get to spend some time with her, learn from her. So if you ever go to Bali, if you are there, or if you want to reach her, get in contact with her. I highly recommend it. Thank you so much also for following Conmovida. Please stay tuned for more episodes. You can also follow the whole project at movidacc.com. All right, until next time, see you soon. Bye bye. Thank you.